In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is in our midst.
He was, is, and always shall be.
This past year, we planted a tree, or I should say, we had planted. I didn't do it, but it was planted in our front yard. And I'm not much with plants or trees or anything. I'm not sure I could tell the difference between just about any kind of tree. But what I did notice is that it, unlike all the other plants and trees in our yard, it hadn't budded. It just had the real thin branches on it. And I was thinking, okay, this thing's dead. It's gone. But of course, as I said, I don't know anything about them, and it just wasn't its time yet. And sure enough, just a few days ago, I saw little buds coming on the end of the branches, and the tree is starting to come to life for the year. I was in East Texas yesterday with our Goyans, who I'm happy to see. Many of them are here, and most of them with faces that are smiling, but all of them with faces that are tired, I'm sure. But we had a wonderful time. I was only there yesterday. They were there since Friday, but a wonderful time at Sky Ranch in East Texas. And those of you who've been to East Texas know there are a lot more trees than we have here in Dallas. We have mostly concrete and buildings and highways and houses and developments and all sorts of things, but not as many trees. There are trees everywhere there. And it gives you an opportunity when you are out of the city to see and notice many things. And even as I got lost when I was walking up to where the zip lines were, I don't know how I did that, but I did. I found myself in the middle of the trees and seeing all these wonderful trees that were there. And it made me think, and I was prompted by a blog that I saw, and I was reading about trees, because in the life of the church, of course, we hear a lot about trees, even when we don't really notice it, because we're focused on so many other messages and so many other passages and so many other events that we don't notice that trees are so central to our faith. Trees are the oldest living things on earth. Those of us who read Genesis and read Scripture. And they are mentioned in Scripture more than any other living thing other than God and people. Trees are. There's a tree, of course, on the first page of the Bible in Genesis, the first psalm that we have, the first page of the New Testament, and the last page, the last chapter of Revelation, there's mention of trees. The tree of life, of course, those of you who know that. Whether it is the fall of first man and first woman, whether it is the flood, and we know that Noah built the ark, of course, from trees, whether it is the overthrow of Pharaoh, and those of you who were watching a few weeks ago, the Ten Commandments saw that with the staff that Moses lifted up high and the branch from the tree. Every major event in Scripture, and the church reflects this in her hymns, in her prayers, in Scriptures, every major event has a tree marking the spot. Jesus said, of course, in John, he is the true vine, and that his Father is the vine dresser of the tree or of the garden. The Scripture itself refers to itself in Proverbs as the tree of life. We are told to be like trees, as we hear in Psalm 1:3, planted by the streams of the water that yield their fruit in season. We also know from many of the gospel passages that trees that don't yield fruit are withered or cut down. The texts of our services speak about trees, and if you were here in Orthros, or if you were not, go back and take some time and look. They all reference trees. For instance, one of the quotes says, in paradise of old, the tree stripped me bare. And another one says, let all the trees of the forest dance and sing as they behold their fellow tree. We begin with Adam and the tree, which was the instrument of the fall. We now have Christ, the new Adam, as the church refers to him, among other things, and the tree of salvation. We begin the fast with Adam's banishment from paradise, and now the church declares in her hymns, a tree is planted in the middle of the fast, the tree of life, the cross. So today, on the third or the middle of Great Lent, the third Sunday of Lent, the church sets before us the cross of Christ, the life-giving tree. Through the cross, joy has come to all the world, we hear. A cross made of wood, and of course, Jesus himself, the son of a carpenter, himself learned how to fashion wood as a child, was hung on the tree that was a symbol of death and became a symbol of life. The church sees in all this a connection. Why do we exalt the cross of Christ, the Holy Cross, today in the middle of the fast? We venerate the cross of Christ, St. John of Damascus says, by which the power of the demons and the deceit of the devil were destroyed. The Orthodox Church has consistently celebrated the cross not as a symbol of death, of destruction, of humiliation, of despair, but a symbol of hope, a symbol of victory, an emblem of victory, which is why we wear the cross around our necks, or we have the cross so prominently displayed, because it is a symbol, an emblem, a sign of victory, of hope, of joy. Melito of Sardis proclaims, just as from a tree came sin, so also from a tree came salvation. By the cross, death is destroyed, and by the cross, salvation shines. By the cross, the gates of hell are burst, and by the cross, the gates of paradise are opened. The cross is the destroyer of hell or Hades. St. Athanasius of Alexandria declared his trophy over death was the cross. And later he said, the death which they thought to inflict as a disgrace was actually a monument of victory against death itself. The cross of the Lord is a sign of victory over death. Maximus the Confessor affirms, by being conquered deliberately, he conquered him who hoped to conquer and snatch the world from his dominion. Those of you who know a contemporary theologian of the contemporary theologian and hierarch, Metropolitan Callistos Ware of blessed memory, who just fell asleep in the Lord a few years ago, he said, what has been fulfilled in the cross and the death of Christ on the cross? And we reply, the work of suffering love, the victory of love over hatred. Christ our God has loved his own to the uttermost. At the Goya retreat, we talked about a number of things, but the theme was almsgiving, right? Almsgiving. We talk about prayer. That's okay, you can talk. You were talking a lot yesterday, you can talk today. Theme of almsgiving, eleemosyne, right, in Greek, which we think of almsgiving as making donations or our stewardship or giving clothes or food, and yes, this is almsgiving. But the word in Greek is even a deeper understanding of this word almsgiving. It means an act of mercy, an act of compassion, an act of love. And all those things, of course, are acts of mercy and compassion and love. But it's much greater and much deeper than that. You see, our Lord gave us, our Lord showed us, our Lord offered himself. Another Greek word, kenosis. He emptied himself. God emptied himself in his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, which was the ultimate act of mercy and compassion and love. What did we talk about also? About the arms of the cross, the bars of the cross. The vertical was the relationship between God and us. And then the arms are the relationship between us and our brothers and our sisters. Without one, we can't have the other. We say we have a relationship with God, but we don't have a relationship with our brothers or our sisters. We don't show acts of mercy and compassion and love. We may do everything we can to help our brothers and sisters. We may be so focused on justice in this world that we forget about the relationship with God, our relationship with God in Jesus Christ. You can't have one without the other. And our Lord showed us that. It was in His sacrifice. It was in His giving of Himself that we understand, and we should understand, true acts of mercy and compassion and love. This is what our Lord brought to us. This is what our Lord gave to us. This is the gift of eternal life. And we find all of that in the cross. The cross is an icon. When we are here in just a few weeks on Holy Thursday, and we see the icon, the cross of Christ, the icon of Christ on the cross, the Orthodox don't depict Christ as a victim. You've heard this before. But as a victor, yes, He is dead. He is crucified and dead on the cross. He gave up His spirit, as we hear in the gospel. But it's a depiction, it's an expression of victory and not victimhood. He is a victor over death. So every time that we see a tree, the moment we walk out of here, see it as an icon. Let it be a reminder to each and every one of us of the victory of Christ's death on a tree over death, over Satan, over evil, who brought life to each and every one of us, who understands, who lives, who follows, who brings into our life the understanding of God in us and of us in each other. May our Lord, who was crucified, who rose from the dead for our salvation, through the intercessions of His mother, the Most Holy Theotokos, and the power of the holy and life-giving cross, keep us healthy, keep us strong, keep us peaceful and patient, keep us full of mercy and love and compassion as we continue on in our journey to the kingdom. Amen.